Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York City on the left side of your screen.
And, how you doing?
Well, David, just in case somebody wasn't paying attention before we get going here, I'm going to put the title screen back up here again, because y'all are going to have to wait around and figure out how come I got a flying saucer in there. There is really a reason for it. I didn't just pull that out and say, okay, I'm going to have a flying saucer today. No, there's a real reason for that. But we got a lot to talk about today, David. Mm-hmm.
And you can see behind me, New York City has been basically apocalyptized.
There you go. Okay, well, I want to show everybody this, because here's what we're going to talk about today. Now, we may deviate. You know us. We may get off topic or whatever, but this is what we anticipate talking about. And that's, first of all, I can guarantee you we're going to talk about 1 year later, Israel versus terrorism, because yesterday, October the 7th, was the one-year anniversary of the terrorist attack in Israel, and we're going to talk about that a lot. Also going to talk about FEMA failures, and we got a new Category 5 hurricane out there, and guess what? The United States government might be complicit in this. We're going to find out, because we're going to ask the question, is our government behind superstorms? And how about Iran? Mm-hmm. How about Iran? Did they just test a nuclear weapon this weekend? Did that really happen? We're going to tell you. And then Ukraine is losing, and they're admitting it now. So why are we wasting money on them? Okay, now that's what we're going to talk about today, David. Do you have any immediate comments before we get going?
Yeah, I do. And I wanted to talk about the, I forgot.
Okay. All right. Well, if you forgot, then the first thing.
Let's just go.
The very first thing that I want to talk about is very, very important. And I know we do a lot of laughing, a lot of kidding around on this show. Mm-hmm. But this one is really, really serious. And so, again, Israel, the terrorist attack took place on October the 7th of 2023. Mm-hmm. And yesterday marked the anniversary there. So
Israel's marking a year since the October the 7th attacks by Hamas. Services are taking place across Israel and the world. Around 1,200 people were killed and over 250 taken hostage. In France, President Macron has issued a statement on the anniversary of the Hamas attacks. Ross Cullen reports from Paris.
The French president published three posts in French, Hebrew and English saying, quote, "We do not forget the victims, the hostages or the families with broken hearts from absence or waiting." Emmanuel Macron will meet relatives of some of the French-Israeli hostages on Monday as the French foreign minister continues on a tour of the region timed to coincide with the anniversary of the attacks. Ross Cullen, Paris.
Okay. If you remember last week, French President Macron said that he didn't think that Israel deserved to get any more weapons. Now he's gonna put out this memo that he has all this feeling for Israelis.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to show him something. I'm going to show him something right now. For those of you watching us in visual form, and we do encourage you to do it, I've got the October the 7th massacre on screen. Now, this is on the morning of October the 7th, 2023, Hamas launched a coordinated attack on Israel's civilians and military positions, firing over 5,000 rockets from Gaza, reaching as far north as Tel Aviv. Using the barrage as cover, terrorists, along with some Gazan civilians, breached the border and attacked towns and a music festival, massacring around 1,200 people, including men, women, and children. Horrific atrocities, including sexual violence, were committed, drawing global outrage. The attacks, which occurred during the Jewish holiday of Simchat Torah, marked the deadliest assault on Israel since 1973. 1,191 murdered, 101 kidnapped, 4,834 plus injured, and 117 kidnapped survivors. Okay, that's what the war is about. So don't let people tell you that Israel is occupying a land that was given to them by God 6,000 years ago. Okay, mm-hmm. But, you know, David, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous when people just follow the narrative, and then you ask them, well, where is Gaza? Who are the Palestinians, you know? Mm-hmm. And And they have, like, no answer because they're just clueless. They're just libtards that are just jumping on any kind of a bandwagon.
Yeah.
But if that was done to them, then they'd want the whole world. They'd be crying their eyes out, you know, and saying, oh, please help us, please help us.
Mm-hmm.
So well, it's a sad state, but as the Bible says, we're closer to the end. It's crazy. I'm surprised we're still here.
Me too. Me too. You look up there at the top of the screen. You see that we've got one of the guys there crossed off because he is no longer with us. He was killed a couple of weeks ago. And they still
Is he missing?
Yeah, they still haven't found anybody to take his place because every time they find somebody to take his place, they either get killed or they quit. You know,
so yeah, what's that like? They're up to five in a row now?
Something like that. You know, it's just insane. Now, the one in the middle there, Sinwar, I broke this, I don't know, maybe a week ago, that Sinwar was hiding. Okay? And, you know, all the news reports that you get are, well, Sinwar, you know, we hadn't heard from him, maybe dead, maybe, you know, whatever. No, he's alive. He's very much alive. And what he's doing is he is using paper and pen to communicate. He's not doing anything with any electronics at all. Doesn't trust them. Okay. Now, he may be injured. I can't comment on that, but I can tell you that just like we reported about a week ago, he is very much alive, and now the other agencies are beginning to report the fact that he is alive. But his time on this earth is also very limited. Now, the one on the right-hand side, I call him Mr. Next Up. Okay. Mr. Next Up happens to be the Ayatollah in Iran, who's already hiding, even though he's, you know, he keeps blustering about how all the damage Iran's going to do, but he's hiding because he knows the Israelis are after him, and when they're ready, they'll take him out. What do you think, David?
Yeah, he's probably got one of his guards is probably in on it already.
Probably.
And it's just waiting for the right time. Hey, we got to do this at a good time. When do you want to do it? How about doing lunch on Thursday? Oh, that sounds good. You know, and they always do that. They're like talking all this big game, you know, and then sending all the young men out to do all that work and then, you know, leading people to get killed by them, but they don't want to be killed. It's like, if they're serious about it, wouldn't, you know, if you're really going to get those 70 virgins, wouldn't you want to like, hey, let's hurry up and get there.
Instead of hiding.
You know, because let me go kill myself now. And that's what they're telling everyone else. But they run and hide like little girls that they are.
Amen.
That's right. They're a bunch of little tiny girls peeing in their pants.
Cowards. 100% cowards. Okay.
I wonder if the pen's going to blow up, though. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Imagine that. He's like writing a letter. I'm not using electronics. And then the pen blows up on him.
I can tell you this, and I don't remember which airline it is, so you guys are going to have to do the research on this one. But there is an airline that has banned the use of pagers and walkie-talkies. You can't bring those two items on board. Now, you can still bring a cell phone on board. Well, cell phones blew up worse than the others did, so I'm not really sure what the point is there. But
well, what are you going to tell everyone they can't bring a cell phone?
Right. That's exactly why it came down to money, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at pictures of Israel right now, David, you're not going to see much difference between now and October the 7th of last year. All the missiles seem to be missing their mark, not even making it into Israeli airspace in some cases. They've killed so far one Palestinian who got hit by a piece of shrapnel that fell from the air. And he was walking in the streets of Jericho for no reason whatsoever. So I'm not saying he deserved it, but he was pretty stupid for doing it. But this is what's happening in Lebanon. Take a look at this one. And I don't think I'll show you the entire video here because there isn't any sound or anything behind this. But what I want you guys to notice is the utter destruction of this country. I mean, it is just incredible. Look at this stuff. You can see all these houses that are just devastated, buildings completely destroyed. How would you like to live in that? I mean, that is what Israel has done, not even in a year. I mean, the attack in Lebanon only started, what, David? I've lost track of time. 2 weeks? 3 weeks? How long has it been?
Yeah, it's only been a short while, less than a month, I think. Yeah. And it's because, you know, this is what happens when you throw stones at Israel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, they don't play, and they're going to take care of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So you can guarantee that all of those places that are destroyed had some kind of military association with it, because right. Israel just does not attack civilians out of nowhere. What they do is they throw civilians, particularly the women and children, out in front of them so they can point the finger, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the same mm-hmm. cowardice, you know. Hey, let's, you know, let's sacrifice them, and then they tell them, oh, if we sacrifice you, you go straight to heaven.
Oh yeah.
And their poor people are terrified. They don't want that. But
okay,
the cowards do that.
Hmm. Got to jump in with breaking news.
Oh, we have breaking news.
Okay. The United States Supreme Court has rejected the Biden administration's call for Texas to be forced to make a emergency room doctors perform abortions. So my question is, why would you have an emergency abortion thing? I mean, if it was if a doctor is in an emergency room and they're having to make critical decisions right now, snap decisions about somebody's life, I don't think abortion is going to be the first thing on their mind. You know, they may have to save the woman's life, and if so, I'm sorry. Okay, they had to save her life. I understand that. I can sort of go along with that one. But you're not going to tell me somebody's going to walk in the emergency room and say, okay, I need an emergency abortion. That makes no sense mm-hmm. at all.
No. No. Well, that's just the libtards. They're mm-hmm. controlled by the evil principalities and powers that don't mm-hmm. care about human life. You know, the devil comes to kill, you know, and destroy and mm-hmm. hurt. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to excuse me. I'm constantly getting... My phone blows up with news, David. It just blows up all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah, okay. that's insane. Because, I mean, here we are. We're right up at the end. The birth pains, you know, the mm-hmm. contractions, mm-hmm. They're overlapping each other.
Okay, so let's see what people are really concerned about in the world right now. Okay, you've heard a little bit of what's going on. This is the big thing right now, and then I've got a real comment on this one. Listen to this one.
Federal health officials have announced $72 million in funding for vaccine manufacturers to ensure bird flu vaccines are ready to use if needed.
Currently, there are no recommendations for the U.S. population to be vaccinated against bird flu. However, officials from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services explained the move is out of an abundance of caution. Previously, health officials had stockpiled nearly 5 million vaccine doses, and with the new funding, the ready-to-use stockpile is expected to double. Liam White reporting.
Okay. So, we're going to get, or they spent all these millions of dollars on a vaccine that nobody thinks we're going to eat. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, $72 million, but yeah. They give you lost your home and your property and your entire life, and they give $750.
Right. And that's the point that I'm going to drive home right here. Let's listen. Look at this. Okay, now that is the new Hurricane Milton. It has already reached a Category 5. There isn't one bigger. Right now, it is tied for the third biggest hurricane of all time. Now, this follows up Hurricane Helene, which the country is still trying to recover from. And this one looks like it's going to hit just about in the same location as that one did. So, if you remember, David, the Homeland Security guy said that we didn't have enough money to take care of this, mm-hmm. right? If there was another right. storm. Okay. Well, he didn't read this. Look at this one real quick. This is a report from the U.S. Inspector General's office. And it just says, despite FEMA claiming they have no more disaster funds, the Inspector General's report says agency is sitting on billions. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, whatever his name is, faced a new firestorm of criticism for claiming FEMA is out of disaster funds right as the DHS's Inspector General released a report saying FEMA is sitting on at least $8.3 billion in untapped funds. On October the 2nd, Mayorkas said, "We are expecting another hurricane hitting. We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season and what is imminent. This new controversy is surfacing as Hurricane Milton may become, and now has become, a Category 5 storm, and massive evacuations are now underway in Florida, which is still struggling from Hurricane Helene, as is much of the southeast." Okay, there's a little bit more here. Let's see if I can get it up here on the screen. There we go. Okay, but analysts say that FEMA cannot tap unspent appropriations for long-ago crises, so the money sits frozen as 600 people are reportedly still missing from Hurricane Helene. Trust me, there's a lot more than 600. At least 220 died. Trust me, there's a lot more that died than that. And entire towns were wiped off the map. That is a fact. Helene is the most catastrophic hurricane to hit the U.S. since Katrina in 2005. Budget experts warn that this new firestorm shows that FEMA has been turned into a slush fund that the agency and the Biden-Harris White House can spend at will. An August 2024 report from Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General noted, as of October 2022, FEMA estimated that 847 disaster declarations with approximately $73 billion in unliquidated funds remained open. The report also says $8.3 billion in unliquidated obligations was for disasters declared in 2012 or earlier that analysts say could be returned to help people battling for survival now. As you can see, it gets worse and worse as you go on. Okay, so then the IG report concurs, saying more than $7 billion in unliquidated funds could potentially be returned to the Disaster Relief Fund. Jeremy Portnoy at the Watch Group Open the Books notes that the way FEMA has set it up, the agency has locked in grant money that it must use during and before a period of performance deadline. That means the funds are obligated for that time period. However, the Inspector General report finds that FEMA has been extending deadlines by up to 16 years for $7 billion worth of grants, sometimes without explanation. For example, FEMA is still sitting on $4.5 billion in unused frozen funds for Superstorm Sandy, which happened 12 years ago in 2012. FEMA officials have to justify and explain why they're extending deadlines in writing, but it's unclear what they're saying to justify freezing the funds for so long. And I know, David, I think you're probably pretty familiar with Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, they didn't give us any money at all. That's why they're still holding on to it, because now they can tap into it anytime they want. There was this huge tree that fell across our street, and it was literally over a month later until they actually came and cut the tree up so we can drive past the street.
That's great.
And I mean, that's in the middle of New York City. So you can see how many trees, and it was just nonsense. And it was actually the National Guard, because everyone on the street kept calling and complaining and complaining and complaining. And it wasn't FEMA. The National Guard said, "Hey, we'll come and do it." So they came around and cut up a bunch of trees that people were complaining about.
Wow.
And then they never gave us any money for anything. I have a lot of friends down by on the Jersey Shore and down here, because, there's parts of New York City are actually on the ocean. And it was like the water was 11 feet into the apartment building over in some of these places. So they had to redo all that, and not one of them got any money.
Well, the storm surge is supposed to be what really gets people. We've talked about it offline, I think, a couple of times. I've been through a hurricane. I've been through a hurricane Category 1, and David laughed, because he's been through a whole lot worse than that. But, this storm that's heading for Florida now, that's no laughing matter. This is a killer storm. The first one was a killer storm as well.
And that'll tear your house apart while you're in it.
Right. I mean, the winds are incredible. I think it's at 180 miles an hour.
Yeah, the gusts were up to 185, I think.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's just insane. But my question, David, is could the, is it possible, and, you know, going back here to our little outline, I'll put it back up on your screen here for just a minute, okay? So the FEMA failures, and, you know, we got that new Category 5 hurricane going in there. So the next question is our government behind some of these superstorms? I mean, they seem to be getting bigger and bigger, and I know, you know, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but I want everybody to look at look at this picture. Everybody, take a look at that. That was a picture taken in the state of Florida on Sunday, and I have never seen a cloud formation like that in my life. That is a wicked-looking thing, and the storm isn't even there yet. Okay, the storm has not hit Florida yet, but they're already getting that kind of cloud. What would you, David, you do a lot of work on, you know, well, at least with stars and stuff. What do you think of that cloud?
Well, here's the deal. I mean, you could look this up, and we're not making stuff up, and it's not a conspiracy theory. They just use that. They started that term in JFK to try and make fun of people. But the problem is all my conspiracy theories have come true. So there's a problem if we can see that. And, you know, we don't get crazy. I'm not a flurf, you know, the flat earth. That's ridiculous. And that is also a psyop to try and make, you know, conspiracy theorists look ridiculous. But there are some that are. I mean, we all know what happened to JFK. We all know who was involved in it. You can look that up. We all know what happened on 9/11. You can look that up. But as far as, you just look up HAARP. It's an acronym, H-A-A-R-P. They actually do cloud seeding, and they've been doing it since the 50s. That's how all those rains came down, and what was it, Vietnam or Korea or something? That's how they caused it to rain so much. It worked so well that it flooded them all out when they were down there. They've been doing it ever since. So you really, you know, you got to ask yourself a question. 450 miles inland off the coast, how does a hurricane gain strength and cause a flood 2,100 feet above sea level? It's crazy how that just happened, right? Oh, and it's crazy how, oh, it just happened to be lithium mines and quartz mines up there that just happened to be needed by a company that, oh, just happened to be purchased by BlackRock. I mean, it's just way too many coincidences. They spent $90 million for the rights to mine lithium there. And all the people that, all the towns that were wiped out were the ones that were fighting against that. They didn't want lithium mines in their neighborhood. So all of a sudden there's this freak hurricane that's 450 miles inland, 2,100 feet above sea level, and it increases. How does that happen?
It doesn't. Okay? It doesn't normally.
You can see it. Just look that up, cloud seeding. Matter of fact, it was all over the TV 10, 15 years ago, right on the news. Say, oh, we can, and there was, their excuse was, well, we can stop the bad weather, okay? Oh, if we do this and that, we can make it rain over here so the rain doesn't, you know, we can make it rain out in the ocean so it doesn't rain on the land too much or something. What they're telling you is, hey, we can control the weather. Watch your step.
Well, you mentioned it already, HAARP, and for those people that are unfamiliar with it, look it up. It's H-A-A-R-P, I believe, right, David? It's it actually originated in, I guess, their main headquarters in Alaska, I think.
Yeah, so, yeah, they got giant antennas, and they're focusing energy beams and moving clouds around. And everything. Just go look it up. You know, I got time to talk to you about it here.
Yeah, it's scary. But the one thing that you pointed out there that's very, very important to note is the fact that the hurricane increased in strength after it made landfall. Now, I'm talking about the last one, Helene. Now, in every hurricane in the history of time, every time
it's literally impossible because it needs the ocean to gain strength.
Yeah, every time they hit land. You know, the storm surge is bad, the hurricane winds are bad, all the rain is bad, all that. You know, it's really, really bad. But after it goes on shore, it begins to lose strength. There was a hurricane that hit in South Texas many, many years ago, and the winds were so strong that it maintained itself as a tropical storm as far as strength, winds and strength, all the way up to Dallas. That was, I think, the worst one I've ever seen here in Texas as far as, you know, as far as it going inland. But you're talking about basically a Category 5 storm becoming a tropical storm by the time it hits Dallas. Mm-hmm. This one hit as a Category 4, and it stayed as a Category 4, and then a 3, and then a 2, and then back up to a 3, I think. And it was crazy. I've never seen anything like that, like you were saying. It's totally impossible.
Yeah.
Unless there is something going on.
It takes the motion and the heat of the ocean to create the winds in the storm.
Right.
So if it's over land, all it has is resistance. It keeps hitting all the buildings and trees and everything, and it slows down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's no possible way, unless they were feeding it, that it gained strength on land. It can't.
Yeah, and what worries me is that this next one, again, is on the same track as Helene. And when this hits, I mean, it's going to do more damage. I mean, obviously, but what I mean by that is it's going to do a greater amount of damage than the first one did. And these people are not ready for that yet. And there are still blockages. The government is still blocking people from getting aid. You know, and again, look it up online with some reputable agencies. Don't go to the New York Times. Don't go to MSNBC or CNN or something like that. Use a credible source, a reliable source, and you'll find out that, you know, the government
has been
blocking.
The New York Post is pretty good.
Yeah, the Post is good, yeah.
New York Post. Go look stuff up in there if you want, you know, mainstream news and you want to verify all this stuff.
Right. So, anyway, I'm really worried for everybody in Florida, and we didn't pray this show in, and I apologize for that. We will do it.
We'll pray for them in the second half,
as soon as we open up the second half, because there's a lot to pray for. And we've gone over Israel now, and it's continuing, and it's going to get worse, and we'll tell you about that. I've still got the spaceship thing going on there, too, so you need to hang out for that, because we're going to explain what that's all about. And believe me, it's legit, and it's something that you guys are going to want to know about if you don't already. It depends on what church you go to, I guess. Anyway, we'll be back with the second half right after this.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Simon Gaitan. Fighting continues in Gaza and Lebanon as Israel's prime minister says Israeli forces are changing the security reality of the region, a year on from the October 7th attacks by Hamas that killed over 1,200 people, since which nearly 42,000 people have been killed in Israel's offensive on Gaza, and over 1,400 people killed in the past 3 weeks of Israeli attacks in Lebanon, which have displaced over 1 million people there, according to Lebanese authorities. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said his country will speed up steps towards becoming a military superpower with nuclear weapons. North Korea has for decades pursued a nuclear weapons program and is believed to have enough fissile materials to build dozens of the weapons. Laura Westbrook reports.
Kim Jong-un said North Korea would not hesitate to use all its attack capabilities against its enemies if the country came under attack. He also mentioned the South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol by name, calling out Seoul for colluding with Washington to destabilize the region. Tensions on the Korean Peninsula have intensified. Pyongyang unveiled a facility to produce weapons-grade uranium and continues to run missile tests. Last week, South Korea marked an annual Armed Forces Day with a military parade that featured a U.S. strategic bomber. Laura Westbrook, Hong Kong.
U.S. officials have issued warnings of the, quote, potentially catastrophic impact of Storm Milton as it heads towards Florida and is expected to reach the state on Wednesday. Benji Hyatt reports.
Milton is expected to make landfall in Florida by Wednesday night, hitting major population centers including Tampa and Orlando. Florida's officials are preparing for the largest evacuation there since 2017 when Hurricane Irma slammed into the state. America's southeast has already been impacted by a devastating storm in past days, with Helene killing hundreds of people and besieging parts of the Gulf Coast with flooding not seen in generations.
A European spacecraft has set off on a 2-year journey to investigate whether killer asteroids can be knocked off course. The $400 million Hera spacecraft blasted off from Cape Canaveral in Florida on board a SpaceX rocket. Giles Gibson has more from Brussels.
Scientists involved in the Hera project are calling its mission a crash scene investigation. After a 2-year trip, the spacecraft will come into the orbit of an asteroid that was hit by a NASA probe back in 2022. The idea of that was to test whether a huge asteroid threatening Earth could be knocked off course, so not actually that different to the plot of the 1998 blockbuster Armageddon. Scientific instruments on board Hera will test how much of an impact the NASA spacecraft made on the asteroid's trajectory. In Brussels, Giles Gibson.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton joining us from New York City. David, I'm really worried, as I said, about this new storm that's going through. I've got a daughter that lives in the panhandle of Florida, and she didn't leave for the first one, and it didn't bother her, you know, and her where she's living. She said, hey, we got a little rain, a little bit of wind, but that was it. I mean, there wasn't anything, nothing. But this storm, it could hit anywhere. I mean, I know right now the track is taking it toward Tampa, I believe, but there's nothing to prevent it from going up.
They're going to move it where they want it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Okay. All right.
So we were going to pray for them, remember?
Yes, we were. And go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
All right. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for your protection. We ask that you would stop these evil forces of darkness and come and rule and reign on the earth again. We ask for protection for these people down in Florida and the path of the hurricane again. Restoration for the ones who have been hurt. Comfort and peace for the ones who have lost loved ones. And guide them to safety. Guide them to knowing you. To say, hey, you know what? You never know when something's going to happen, so they'll receive you as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I can tell you this, and for people that want to do the research, if you want to look for this stuff, you can find it. It's not that hard if you just give it an effort. There's an airport, I believe it's in Asheville, North Carolina, that has a row of FEMA helicopters. FEMA pilots flew in these helicopters. And guess where they parked them?
Where did they park them?
On the runway.
Ah.
So, in other words, they're not using them. They're not flying any missions. There is a there's a building that's at that airport where people can drop off aid, and they have, and there's a lot of it. And these FEMA pilots are sitting there waiting for instruction of what we're supposed to do next. And as they do that, the just civilians that are trying to help with their private planes or whatever, trucks, they are being told, you better stop or we're going to arrest you. Can you believe this crap?
It's ridiculous. You know, I would do it anyway. Say, okay, go ahead and arrest me. We'll see how that pans out with everybody. Arrest me for bringing aid to somebody.
It's incredible what they are doing, and there's just no excuse. I'm sorry. There's just no excuse.
No, there isn't. It's a pure evil, and it's the devil at work. And if you don't see that now, you got problems. Okay. Call all the names you want. You got a problem.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And the judge is coming. He's around the corner. So you better be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
he's not going to take votes. He doesn't care about your opinion. Okay.
Mm-mm. No.
The judge is coming.
And the crazy thing, David, is it's all been prophesied. I mean, I'm not talking about helicopters on runways and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the fact that we have all these natural disasters, the fact that we've got all the pestilences and the wars and the rumors of war, and you know, people that think bad is good and good is bad, and that it is exactly the way the Lord said it was going to work. And you know, if you are out there and you're listening to this broadcast and you don't believe me, look it up, for goodness sakes. Don't trust all these sources that I'm sure you're going to that are feeding you nothing but lies. The mainstream media is not they're not a free press. They are a government press. Okay? This is like the old, what was it that they had in old Soviet Union, David? What was the name of that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the TASS news
KGB.
Agency. KGB, yeah, all that stuff. I mean, you know, we are there. We're under government control media. And I believe you saw something the other day where an MSNBC actually admitted to the fact that they were doing everything that they could to elect Kamala Harris, even if they had to lie to do it.
Well, who's that Veritas guy, James? So he's doing it, you know, his undercover stuff again. So he's got people all over the place, and people can volunteer. Hey, you know, I'm meeting with this guy. So they recorded MSNBC, an executive over there, saying that, oh yeah, we're doing everything we can to help Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, it's all sold out. But that's what the Bible says.
That's why we're not worried. That's why David and I are not worried. You know, because we know.
I mean, it's sad, but what that means, Jesus is around the corner, and he's going to rule in righteousness. I mean, when you have a baby, it hurts, but then when it's done, the baby's here.
Yeah. Mm. But for those of you that are going to be around, you might want to know about this. Show this one real quick. Did Iran conduct an underground nuclear test on Saturday night?
Don't know, that wasn't there.
Well, let's look at it. Okay. Now, this was Israel on Saturday night, October the 5th. And it says, strangely enough, both the countries experienced the earthquake at a marginal difference in timing. In such a situation, it's being speculated whether Iran has conducted a nuclear test. The earthquake occurred in the Aradan city of Semnan province in Iran. Its intensity was 4.5 on the Richter scale. The earthquake occurred at about 10:45 local time, and I don't know what that word is.
Epicenter
was a depth of only 10 kilometers from the ground. The tremors were felt in Tehran, which is 110 kilometers away from the epicenter of the earthquake, and that's according to the U.S. Geographical Survey. They also said a few minutes later an earthquake was reported from Israel, according to the report of the European Mediterranean Seismic Center, the EMSC. This earthquake occurred around 12 o'clock, but its intensity remained very low. Given the intense state of conflict between Iran and Israel, people have started linking the earthquakes in these two countries with Iran's nuclear tests on social media. There have been speculations in many reports that it is not an earthquake, rather Iran conducted underground nuclear tests, due to which a shock was felt in both the countries. A report claimed that the earthquake in Iran occurred very close to the nuclear power plant, so it cannot be said whether the shock was due to an earthquake or nuclear test. And if I was going to take a guess, I reported, I believe about a month ago, that Iran had nuclear capability now. And I'm not backing down from that. My reports say that they've got it. So now
they got it.
Now they've moved on to testing it. And what do you think comes after the testing it part?
They're going to haul it at their perceived enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who's that?
Well, that would be Israel. They're going to try that.
right.
I can pretty much guarantee that Israel's all privy to this, and they're going to make that work in their favor and against Iran's favor.
Yeah.
Right. Just because everything else does.
Yeah, great.
So, yeah. And so that's going to be interesting when I look at all the times in the Bible where God caused the enemy to inflict all of their damage on themselves.
On themselves. And that's what's going to happen here. I guarantee it. Yeah. Because Israel is not going to—they're not going to take this. You know, I mentioned before one of the previous shows we did that I also follow a news agency called BRICS, which is—they're on the other side. Okay, there's a lot of comments from their people. Oh, Israel's going to die, and all this kind of stuff. And I haven't replied to any of them yet. But
no. Just let's see what they do.
Yeah,
replying to them is not going to help.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I may post a link to our show for anybody. there's just not. They have no idea. They really have no idea that they are living in biblical times, or maybe they do. What do you think, David? Do you think they understand anything that's going on?
Well, if they're Muslim, if they're Muslim and they're like devout Muslims, you know, we have Christians quote here, mm-hmm. and they're not really Christians. They just kind of subscribe to that right. so they can go join the club. Right. Muslims are like that too. There's a whole bunch of Muslims I know over here that are just Muslims because their families were, mm-hmm. not for anything else. They have no faith at all. But the ones that are serious about it, okay, they fully believe that their Savior is coming, and they call him the Mahdi. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Mahdi. What is a Mahdi? Mm-hmm. So sort of Mahdi, some people say, but that's not correct. I got to brush up on your Arabic. And they think he's going to come, and there has to be chaos on the earth for him mm-hmm. to come, because he's going to be coming out of a cave.
Yeah.
Ooh, surprise, surprise. Because mm-hmm. When the abyss opens up in Revelation, then you know, the 200 million horsemen, it says, 200 million cavalry. And people say, oh, that's a 200 million man army. That's probably, you know, China coming over and this and that. It's like, I don't think so.
No,
okay, it says cavalry. It doesn't say men. Mm-hmm. So it could be this horse cavalry coming out of the abyss are demons.
Mm-hmm.
And it just fits better. And plus, it's 10,000 times 10,000 doubled. So it's even 200 million is that's the highest number they had in the Greek is the 10,000.
Mm.
So they didn't. So if they wanted more, they would just put 2 times 10,000.
Oh, okay.
So basically, it's 10,000, the innumerable number times an innumerable mm-hmm. number, and then double it again is really what it means. So even 200 million is a low number for the amount of demons that are coming out.
Wow.
And they will do all of this stuff that we see. Where was I going with this?
Well, I'm going to ask you. Okay, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah. So we're going to see this all play out, a part of it. So their Mahdi is the leader of this basically locust army of demons coming out, and they think he's going to come out of the cave, but they have to produce the chaos in the world for their Mahdi to come, and the Mahdi is going to kill anyone that doesn't follow them, and they have to have this special mark on their right hand or on their forehead that says, I'm with the Mahdi, and that's the only way he's going to know. And he's going to be so superior that he, anything he says, even if it goes against any other writing, it's what has to happen. Okay, so if it's in the Bible, if it's in the Quran, if it's in anything, if the Mahdi says something different, he supersedes that. And he comes riding on a white horse. Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. So what's the first horse we see coming out? Mm-hmm. And he's going to cause all this peace all over the earth, and then he's going to surprise everyone and destroy his enemies. It is literally a description of the Antichrist,
this
Muslim thing. Mm-hmm. And they believe that he's coming, and that they have to cause all this chaos. That's why they're invading every nation of the world, because mm-hmm. they're preparing for it to come. That's why they keep poking the bear, because they want somebody to send nuclear weapons over, because that's going to usher in their Mahdi. So you're not going to change their mind. The only thing that's going to change them is if they receive Christ and realize that they're just plain stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, you did lay it out there as far as everything that you'd use to describe this Mahdi or whatever the heck he's called is the Antichrist. It is all, I mean, yep. the mark on the right hand and on the forehead comes straight mm-hmm. out of Revelation. Read it.
Yep.
They don't have Revelation.
White horse,
yeah, they don't have Revelation in the Quran. You know, they got their own.
It's a ground cave. They literally say he's going to come out of a ground cave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. He's opening the abyss. I mean, that's
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. it's crazy, you know. But before that happens, there's going to be a lot of other stuff happening. On the screen today, I put them all up there. I'm going to put this thing back up again one more time here. Okay. You see, I got a target on Damascus, because Damascus, according to Isaiah 17:1, becomes a ruinous heap, totally uninhabitable. In other words, you can't live there. It's impossible. Okay?
Right.
That's what it says is going to happen to Damascus. Okay, and that's Isaiah 17:1. Pick up your Bible and read it. Then you got Psalm 83, which I think is going, my personal opinion on this, and you know, I'm sure people are going to disagree with me. So David may even disagree with me, but I'm convinced that the Psalm 83 war is playing out right now. And then Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is when all the countries like Iran and Russia and everybody else comes against Israel. So, number one, David, I know I don't want to speculate. You know, I mean, like I said, I just expressed an opinion, and mm-hmm. I want to know if you think my opinion has any merit to it, or if it's just not possible that this could be Psalm 83 playing out right now.
Yeah, I mean, it just fits the narrative. It's now remember, prophecy is pattern as well,
mm-hmm. Right?
So it may be this, and then it might go away for a little while, but then it'll come back again with the same nations. But mm-hmm. that's the parallel of it. It's cyclical. And that's mm-hmm. the Hebrew way of thinking. But you got to realize there's even other books like remember Baruch. Mm-hmm. So Jeremiah mm-hmm. had a scribe that wrote all this stuff, but he was also inspired, and he's got prophetic books, mm-hmm. The prophecy of Baruch. So you're looking, I think it's Second Baruch, and talks about the Arabian dragons mm-hmm. that are all coming against Israel. And then second, Ezra wrote other books too, the prophecy or the apocalypses of Ezra is called First and Second Esdras.
Mm-hmm.
But he
mm-hmm.
talks about the same thing, how the nations, but then immediately after it is going to be wonderful, because that's mm-hmm. when Jesus will actually rule and reign from the earth. So it's literally this short period of time that's directly in front of us,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you don't have to be terrified. Just make sure you're with Jesus, because he will cover you like a chicken covers her little chickadees.
Amen.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Put them under there, and no one can even see you're there mm-hmm. to even do anything. It's amazing watching how the birds cover their young ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord will cover you, and he's our strong tower, and he promises that though 1,000 may fall at your left hand and 10,000 at your right, or something like mm-hmm. that, one or the other, then it won't come near you,
mm-hmm.
okay, because he's protecting you. But you have to be in the covenant, the contract that Jesus Christ laid out for you. You have to be under his blood contract.
Amen.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
and that's the whole reason for this show. We're saying, hey, there's a lot of stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to receive this contract so you're protected,
yeah.
and then go on to live for eternity instead of going to the lake of fire. I think it's a good idea. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Well, you know, one thing that people are amazed, there have been thousands of rockets, drones, ballistic missiles, all fired at Israel, and they've hit one Palestinian guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
by accident.
By accident, yeah. They they blew up a missile in the air, and the parts of it fell on the city of Jericho. And this idiot was walking in the street, told not to, and he got hit by the thing as it fell. That's it. Now, Israel is a very compact nation. It's only the size of New Jersey, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you know, real, real compact. So, how are they missing everything, David? How is it possible to fire that many missiles and rockets and drones and all that at one place and always miss? How is that possible?
They, you know what? It isn't. There's supernatural forces. The angels, you know, especially Michael. Michael was there specifically to guard Israel,
mm-hmm.
And you know, he's got his, you know, subordinates, okay, you go here, you go there, and you push the rockets away. I mean, we've seen it happen how many times with Israel?
Yeah, right.
And their whole story. And even though they're like, they're off the charge apostate, God's like, well, I made a promise.
Mm-hmm.
I got to keep this.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is that guy probably didn't have him going to have a defunct rocket fall on me today on his bingo card.
No. Without a doubt. Okay,
yeah.
Before I uncover the spaceship, because we're going to go into that one pretty good here.
Yay, spaceship.
But before I do that, I got one more that I want to play and get your comment on, David. And this is, again, the Ukraine.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking today at President Biden's plans to meet allies in Germany later this week to discuss strategies in Ukraine as President Volodymyr Zelensky's forces prepare for winter. They suffered a big loss last week as Russia captured the Donbas city of Vuhledar, the latest in a series of losses in eastern Ukraine that are raising questions about Moscow's current strategic advantage. Bob McMahon is with America's Council on Foreign Relations.
The Vuhledar fall is concerning, perhaps not in and of itself, but because of a set of dominoes that could be lining up where the Russians take one strategically important hub after another from this whole theater that Ukrainians had been holding on to tenaciously, and where they had inflicted heavy Russian casualties 2 years ago. Now the Russians are said to have kind of beefed up with a new crop of well-paid volunteers, according to some reports. So it's a tough moment for the Ukrainians. They are eagerly looking for some capabilities to be able to really create some harm and some pause on the Russian side. Their incursion into Kursk has not had the intended effect. And so they are looking for some sort of a firm commitment.
And that is putting pressure on President Biden, who will meet with leaders of the quartet that brings the U.S. together with Germany, France and the U.K. He'll also preside over a meeting of the 32-nation Ukraine Contact Group as calls grow for the provision of fresh assistance to Kyiv. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Okay. You remember how it was such a big deal when Ukraine went into Russia? And they said, you know, this is going to be the turning point of the war. Didn't happen. All Russia did is they just beefed back up, went back in, took it back, and then they continue to go on into the Ukraine. Do you see anything changing there, David? Are we just throwing more money down the same garbage can?
You really have to look at something on the other side of this is how come the good portion of our politicians have offspring that just happen to be on the board of advisors for a great many Ukrainian power companies and getting paid, you know, $50,000 a month for doing nothing over there. And, you know, how come all of a sudden we're funneling in all this money, hundreds of billions of dollars, right? How many billions? And we can't take care of the people in our own nation. Obviously, it's corrupt. Okay, and if you can't see that, you know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you're on meth or something. Honestly, if you can't see that, there's something wrong with you.
I agree 100%. Okay, I promised we were going to do it, and we are. I'm going to put this up here real quick, one more time.
Yay!
All right, why do we have a spaceship? Okay, well, David can explain this a heck of a lot more than I can. And I'm going to let him go in depth in it. David, we got 5 minutes, almost 6 minutes left, and you got the whole thing.
Wow. Wow. And, okay, ready? Topic is aliens. Go! this has to come out. Now, we've been told, and it's pretty much in this last 100 years or so when Israel was about to become a nation again with the Balfour Agreement. In the late 1800s, they were talking about coming back. All of a sudden, you see a proliferation of UFOs, okay, and aliens, and it was born out of the evolution nonsense that they're talking about. Because, well, if there's evolution, then there's probably some life started on other planets, and they're probably, you know, what are the chances we're the smartest ones, blah, 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 okay? that was designed on purpose from the devil, who's been working for several thousand years now at deceiving you. So he's probably ahead of the game, and it's, if not for the Holy Spirit, you know, you need him to discern these things.
Amen.
So we need to make it look like these fallen angels are actually space brothers from another planet coming to help. This way everyone will listen to us without a fight, right? Okay, so how do we come in there and pretend we're good guys, you know? We have to start a couple hundred years earlier, and we got to make everyone think that we just evolved from bacteria goo, you know, and there we are. So must have life elsewhere. So it starts that, but then Israel becomes a nation again, and you see it. Then you see these unidentified flying objects. Well, the Bible talks about things like that. Look at Ezekiel was taken up in a chariot of fire. Okay, Enoch was taken up. There's the wheel within a wheel. There's so many descriptions of things we might term today as UFOs. Okay, there's eyes all around it and this and that. But they're fallen angels and probably some demons involved in there too, but mostly the fallen angels. And they do have spiritual vehicles. Okay? Now, they have to convince you that they're not bad guys. No, no, we're not fallen angels at all. We're space brothers.
Yeah.
So, how are they going to do that? Start with the evolution, come back, say, okay, just show yourself a little bit here and a little bit there. Because what if they just came out and boom, they did it. Everyone, they would die. So, here's this narrative, and then just in the last, what is it, 7-8 years, all of a sudden they started bringing it up. We have to prepare for UFOs. We got, you know, the Vatican has got the big, what, ironically, they call it Lucifer, their telescope, and they're looking out into space, where they themselves said, well, sometimes there's too much alien traffic. We can't even see what we're looking for out there. But these are the principalities and powers, because he is the prince of the air. Okay? Yeah. So all his cohorts are up doing spirit, and they're in the spiritual realm. So that's why they can make it look like they're doing a right angle turn at 1800 miles an hour. They're in a different dimension.
Right.
Okay? So they're not extraterrestrial, they're extra dimensional.
Right.
They're just in another dimension. They're trying to escape the planet, but they can't. They're stuck within the atmosphere, the reaches of the atmosphere. And that may include out to our solar system, depending on how, you know, how you define it and look at it. So there was some things on Mars that they found that looks like buildings and stuff. So there's speculation there that they were building stuff there to go. There's, you know, speculation of bases on the moon. All of this, regardless of whether or not they're real and out there, it's all designed for one thing. And that is, when the bride of Christ is taken up in the rapture, they have a built-in narrative that's been going on. Say, oh, we've been talking about this for 100 years.
There it is.
They have that narrative built in where, oh, it must have been a spaceship that came down. And the people who just refuse to trust in God will fall for that narrative and say, yes, the space brothers came. Are they good or are they bad? The whole world's got to join together, so in case they're bad guys. So let's get one leader for the whole world. You know, like Reagan said, if we found this space people came down, we'd have to all come together and stop fighting.
Right.
You know, we see that already. Nations, you know, when they're being attacked, even though they're enemies, they got to come together. And that's going to be their Mahdi, and that's going to be their false Christ, their pseudo Christ, what we know as the Antichrist. That's going to be him. But you can be protected from all that, and you can have the Holy Spirit show you these truths and confirm them in your heart, because I'm not going to confirm them in your heart. I'm just going to tell you about them, and you do what you do. But the Holy Spirit will tell you these truths. So I would suggest today that if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, that you would in fact ask him to show you these truths and see if these guys are nuts or if they're actually talking about some truth here.
Amen.
Okay? It's real simple. Jesus, I would receive you and ask you to show me these things. Lord willing, we'll be back on the next show. You guys have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It It doesn't matter if you're an independent. The only thing that really matters is getting news that is correct. And you can only do that from the perspective of what God believes. If you want the real news and look at it from the lens of current events, tune in to The Last Christian every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net.